You can be seated. We adore our Lord Jesus Christ, truly present in the Eucharist, and we ask Him to send His Holy Spirit on us, on me to move my words, and on you to open your hearts to the words of salvation that God Himself wants to tell you tonight through me. We are going to speak today about the Eucharist, the mystery of our faith, the sacrament of love. But we can ask ourselves, why are we going to talk about the Eucharist? Some may think, the world is full of big and important problems. There is a lot of poverty, needs, problems, and then you come to us to talk about the Eucharist. Is not the Eucharist like kind of a luxury for people that has no problems? But the experience is showing that every time that we try to solve the problems, the human problems, without the Lord, that problems don't disappear. They become bigger. Because at the end of the day, every human heart is longing for God. Every human heart, as we heard last Sunday in the Gospel, we want to see Jesus. Every human heart needs God, needs Jesus Christ. That is why through the Eucharist we can truly offer, we can truly give Jesus Christ to every man. We are going to see along this talk how grateful we have to be to our blessed Lord for this sacrament of love. It's something that is like breaking our minds. It's too big, too amazing. John Paul II said that when he wrote his encyclical letter, Ecclesia de Eucharistia, he said, I want to invite you to renew your amazement, your astonishment before this mystery of love. And this attitude of reverence and amazement should be always in our hearts before the Eucharist. As the Pope said, the Church lives on the Eucharist. Here, in that little host, in the celebration of the Eucharist, is like the heart of the Church. Jesus Christ is like pumping divine life, grace, mercy to all the members of His mystical body. And if there is no life without a human heart, there is no life in the Church without the Eucharist. It is the Eucharist that is like building up the Church, keeping us together, sanctifying us. Monday we spoke about sanctity. Here is the Holy of Holies, the source of all sanctity. It is only in Him that we can get, that we can find that sanctity that we need, that we are being called for by the Lord. Today, I want to reflect in that particular moment when the Lord instituted the Eucharist and the Last Supper. I think it is a very important moment. I like very much to read the text of the Gospels, especially St. John, that long talk that Jesus had with His disciples. There is an atmosphere of intimacy. Jesus knows that His death is close. It is a time where He's going to be taken away from them. It is a very particular moment also for Jesus Christ, difficult one, because He knows what's coming. He knows that His passion is close. And He is feeling, on one hand, the sadness, because one of His disciples, Peter, is going to deny him. He's very too much secure of himself, said, Lord, I will lay my life down for you. And Jesus told him before the rooster crowed, you will deny me three times. That is in Jesus' heart. He knew that Peter was going to deny him. He knew that Judas was going to betray him. In the liturgy, in the Eucharistic prayer, we said, on the night he was betrayed. It's something important to consider that precisely in that night when Jesus is going to be betrayed, he's making the supreme act of love. The supreme act of love. And in spite of that infidelities, of that sadness, of that knowing that he was going to be left alone, that all of them were going to abandon him, still the heart of Jesus Christ is full of an infinite love. Infinite love. He is God loving. And his heart at that particular moment was about to explode in some way. He cannot retain in him that infinite love. Then in his infinite wisdom, he was trying to find the miracle of the Eucharist, that amazing sacrament through which that love was going to remain forever. Something incredible that we have about the liturgy of the church. You know, every moment in our lives we are living, any particular moment, but then time is passing, and then every moment is like lost in our past. We can bring it back through our memory, but it is lost in the past. It's not here anymore. It's gone. Through the liturgy of the church and through the institution of the Eucharist, Jesus made possible that that particular moment, that act where he was giving his full life, his infinite love to each one of us, was not going to be lost in the past. Was going to be continuously, eternally present in his church through the celebration of the Eucharist. Through his death and resurrection, Jesus and all his work of salvation, his death and resurrection, he is now in eternity. Then he's above time. And through the celebration, the liturgical celebration of the Eucharist, he can be present, truly present, in any particular moment of history. There is a point in the Catechism of the Catholic Church who explains this very well. It's number 1085. He said, in the liturgy of the Church, it is principally his own Paschal mystery that Christ signifies and makes present. It is truly present. It's not repeating anything. It's just the same moment, the same sacrifice, the same love. During his early life, Jesus announced his Paschal mystery by his teaching and anticipated it by his actions. When his hour comes, he lives out the unique event of history which does not pass away. Jesus dies, is buried, rises from the dead, and is seated at the right hand of the Father once for all. His Paschal mystery is a real event that occurred in our history, but it is unique. All other historical events happen once, and they pass away. The Paschal mystery, by contrast, cannot remain only in the past, because his death destroyed death. That moment participates in the divine eternity, transcends all times. Look, my brothers and sisters, this is amazing. Because through the Eucharist, we, each one of us, we can enter into a personal contact with Jesus Christ. Is that really, through the liturgy of the church, through the celebration of the Holy Mass, we are present at the upper room of Jerusalem when Jesus instituted the Eucharist. We are present at the foot of the cross. We are present when Jesus was risen from the dead. It's not something that is far, something that took place in the past. It is present today. The same mystery, the same sacrifice. Jesus is here. He's talking to you. He's inviting you to enter in communion with him, in personal communion with him. Through the Eucharist, Jesus Christ is giving us his life, his eternal life. And that's something amazing. Something that we can only explain by love, by the omnipotence of God. And it is impressive to realize that Jesus knew everything. Just the fact of being, to stay in the mystery of the Eucharist, he is so vulnerable, so fragile. He can suffer, he can be profane, he can be just abandoned. I remember in one occasion I was in Spain. We had a summer camp and we went to a place lost in the middle of nowhere. There were a few houses there, abandoned houses, and there was a chapel too. In the old times when they were working for a harvest, summertime, sometimes the families were gathering together for a couple months doing all the work at the fields, and then winter time they used to go back. And when I opened the tabernacle in that chapel, there was a host that was rotten. Jesus Christ was abandoned there. For sure, as you know, when the sacramental species disappear, the real presence disappeared too. But it was touching very deeply my heart to realize how he was embracing that. He was accepting to be forgotten, to be rotten, just to be close to us, to be available to us, to be near, to be close to our hearts, to our needs, in our lives. How much do we love the Eucharist, my brothers and sisters? We have to make ourselves this question quite often. We are going to reflect on all of this. There is another text of the Vatican Council in the Constitution of Liturgy, Sacrosanctum Concilium, number 47. Again, the bishops, the fathers, were trying to find what was the most appropriate word to express the reality of the Eucharist. And finally, after several discussions, they were choosing the word perpetuate. Perpetuate. It's number 47. At the Last Supper, on the night when he was betrayed, our Savior instituted the Eucharistic sacrifice of his body and blood. He did this in order to perpetuate the sacrifice of the cross. To perpetuate means that it is never passing. It's always present. It's always real. The same one. The only one. And it is present for each one of us. Every day. It is so easy for us. So easy for us. To go to Mass, to receive the Eucharist. And sometimes we find something else to do. Here you have three Masses a day, at least, sometimes four. You have a Eucharistic Adoration Chapel. Years ago, I saw on the news, Catholic news, there were a community of sisters, Spanish sisters, that they usually take care of the elderly people. And they went to Mozambique in Africa to open a house. Sunday, they were driving with their car to nearby nearby, it's 5 kilometers, like 3 miles, Paris. And when they were driving, they saw something strange moving on the road. What is that? And when they were approaching, they realized that there was a young woman. Olivia was his name, 25 years old. No legs. And that girl was walking, if we can say walking, without legs, 5 kilometers, walking on her hands, burning her hands against the sand in Africa, just to go to the Eucharist. And then when we think about ourselves, we can feel sometimes ashamed. That is a real love. That is a real hunger for the Eucharist. That she was ready to make that sacrifice just not to lose her Sunday Mass. She was not even baptized yet. She was baptized later on. That is faith. That is faith. That is to recognize the value of the Eucharist. The Eucharist, said Pope Benedict, is the gift that Jesus Christ is making of himself to each one of us, to manifest the infinite love of God for you. Jesus is giving himself to you. It is not just another gift. He is giving his life to you. He is giving his merit, his sacrifice. He is giving everything to you. He is giving eternal life. If you eat my body and you drink my blood, you will have eternal life. Every time that we are eating, receiving worthily the body of the Lord, the risen, glorified body of the Lord, we are beginning our own resurrection. His glorified body is transforming our lives, is preparing our glory. His glorified body is the hope of our own resurrection. And yes, when we enter in contact with him, we are beginning to experience our own resurrection. That is great. The Eucharist is truly the mystery, the center of our faith. The center of our faith. Jesus said, my body, this is the bread that came down from heaven for the life of the world. If the world is still alive, spiritually speaking, it is because there is a celebration of the Eucharist. The day that there will be no Mass celebrated on the world is like you turn off the sun. There is no light, there is no life, everything is going to be completely death. Because he is the life of the world. Jesus Christ on the Eucharist. And through the Eucharist, we are going to see that there is, we're going to speak about three different transformations. Three different transformations. The first one took place on the cross. It was a transformation that Jesus himself did. And what is this transformation? He was accepting suffering, that brutal violence, and transforming that into love. Accepting suffering and transforming that into love. And Pope Benedict said that that's like a nuclear fission. That was the beginning of many transformations that will change the world. But the seed, the first one that had the capacity of transforming, give us the hope of that this world is going to be transformed, was the death of Jesus, when he was accepting his death his cross and transforming that into love. That is the Eucharist. That is the Eucharistic mystery. It's like an atomic bomb. Every time we celebrate the Eucharist, it's like an atomic bomb of life, mercy, redemption, forgiveness. Think about Hiroshima, but put that into positive. Not an atomic bomb to cause death or destruction, but an atomic bomb to create life, redemption, mercy. And that happened every time that we celebrate the Eucharist. That atomic bomb is exploding in our altar to give life to the whole world. The second transformation that is taking place every time we celebrate Mass is the transformation of the gifts. You know, we present bread and wine, a symbol that represents all of our existence, ourselves, our work, everything that we do, the fruit of our work is presented with Jesus Christ. And as you know, by the words of Jesus repeated by the priests, that in that particular moment is Jesus Christ, he acts in persona Christi, is Jesus himself, and through the invoking of the Holy Spirit, what is called epiklesis, you know, calling the Holy Spirit, epiklesis, epikaleo, means to invoke, to call over the gifts. By the action of the Holy Spirit, who was at the beginning of the world in the new creation, now the gifts are transformed, really transformed, substantially transformed. The church has been always teaching us that key word, transubstantiation. There was a time where they were trying to change that. And there is an encyclical letter written by Pope Paul VI called Mysterium Fidei. And he said, the language is very important. We cannot change the language because we are probably going to change the meaning, the substance of what we want to say. And then Pope was inviting us to keep that word, that term, transubstantiation. The bread and the wine, as you know, is not anymore bread or wine. It is transformed into the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. As the Council of Trent said, vere realiter substantialiter, truly present, really present, substantially present. It's Christ himself who is really present on the altar when we celebrate the Holy Mass. There is a video that I have seen in YouTube. I don't remember exactly now, but I have seen it. It's a Mass in France, in Lourdes, in fact. And there is a gathering of bishops. And in the moment of the epiklesis, when all the bishops are extending their hands and invoking the Holy Spirit, suddenly you see the host like floating on the earth, on the air. And it's like that for about 5 minutes, floating. That's kind of a miracle also to prove the action of the Holy Spirit. Saint Cyril of Jerusalem said in his catechesis, we call upon God in his mercy to send his Holy Spirit upon the offerings before us to transform the bread into the body of Christ and the wine into the blood of Christ. Whatever the Holy Spirit touches is sanctified and completely transformed. And you know, it is beautiful to see how in the same way that in the Annunciation, through the work of the Holy Spirit, Jesus became present, was incarnated in the Virgin Mary. now again, through the action of the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ becomes present in the Eucharist in the Virgin Church. It's a beautiful simile. The third transformation, and the most difficult one, is our personal transformation in Christ. We are, when we celebrate the Holy Mass, if you are attentive, there is not only one epiclesis, one moment when the priest is invoking the Holy Spirit on the bread and the wine. But there is a second moment when he said, he will make of us an eternal offering to you. We are invoking the Holy Spirit not on the bread, but on the people, on you, so that you become also the body of Christ, that you can be transformed into Christ, and you can become also an offering to God. And this is like the essence of the Eucharist. Jesus Christ himself present, truly present in the Eucharist, is not just an static presence. It's not that Jesus is there like sitting with his cross, with his arm crossed, doing nothing. Jesus Christ is loving, is giving his life. Jesus Christ is offering himself to the Father, because love is always active. And then we need to get and to ask for that particular transformation. Each one of us, we need to be transformed in an eternal offering. We need to become active. We need to unite ourselves in that act of self-giving that Jesus is doing every Mass. In fact, I like to compare the Holy Mass with a tornado. You see, no, we don't have that in Spain, but you see the news when they are here in the States. And you see the capacity, the strength that have. I think every Mass is like a tornado where Jesus is taking the whole world to the Father. And is lifting up everybody that has the courage to enter into that dynamic of self-giving. We are afraid of giving our lives. Sometimes we say we have a Eucharistic life because we come to Mass and we go to adoration, and that is beautiful. Never stop doing that. But we need to take another step, the most important and essential one, that is like an interior attitude of self-giving and donation. During the Vatican Council, the bishops and the constitutional liturgy was talking about what is called in Latin actuosa participatio, means an active participation on the celebration of the Mass. And many, they got confused, and they were thinking that an active participation on Mass consists in doing the readings, on bringing the offerings, or doing some exterior activity. For sure, all of that is excellent. But the key point, the main point, is not what we do in the outside, but to have that interior attitude of self-giving, to imitate in us the attitude of Jesus, to have his feelings in our hearts, his attitude towards the Father and towards us. That is really to live the Eucharist, to have a Eucharistic life, to be transformed in the inside, in the inside. And this is like essential for our Christian life, my brothers, because otherwise we have a kind of a division. You know, we come to Mass, half an hour, we go to adoration, half an hour, 1 hour, whatever. But then we go out, and that's a different matter. And that's completely wrong. We need to create, we need to have a unity of life, not a division in our hearts. There is no a time for God, a and a time for the world. All of our the time of our lives has to be for God. We have to get and to ask for that unity where we do everything for Him. When we come to Mass, we have to bring everything we have done at home, in our work, with our brothers or sisters. Everything we do has to become a liturgy of praise to God. I have to carry everything to Him. Then my life has to become a Mass. My life has to become a living sacrifice. And at the same time, I realize that nothing is little for God. I can be at home doing simple things, common things, humble things. If I am doing that with that conscience, if I am doing that out of love, to offer that with Jesus Christ on the altar when I come to Mass, I am transforming my whole life in a liturgy of praise and thanksgiving. And that is wonderful because it's giving a new light to our lives. There is nothing not important in our lives. Everything is important. Everything has to be offered to the Lord. And this is a transformation that we need. To be transformed by Jesus Christ out of love in a self-offering, self-giving. To imitate the interior attitude of Jesus Christ that is giving His life for us, for the salvation of the world. I tell you that when this happens, Mass is never boring. Mass is boring if you are sitting there and what is happening here has nothing to do with you. If you don't commit yourself with Jesus Christ, if you don't risk your life, if you don't offer your life, if you don't give your life to others, then it's very comfortable. But you are not living Mass. You are not giving yourself to God and to others. That's not a real participation in the Eucharist. And very much linked to this participation is the Eucharistic adoration. Sometimes some people, they are trying to make an opposition between Mass or an adoration. Trying to say, well, you know, Jesus Christ is present in the Eucharist for the celebration of the Mass, to be received, to be eaten in some way, not to be adored. And that is really stupid. The Mass is the most perfect act of adoration that we have. Why do we kneel during consecration? To adore Jesus Christ. To adore Him. And St. Augustine, in a very famous sentence, he said, you will sin if you do not adore. Before eating the body of Christ, you have to adore it. In some way, when the priest is presenting you the body of Christ is asking an act of adoration, an act of faith. When you say Amen, you are adoring. You must be adoring Jesus Christ. And that adoration has to help you also and to be shown in the way you treat the Eucharist, in the way you receive Jesus, in the way you receive it on your tongue or at your hands, but with respect. Think about our Blessed Mother. How was she treating Jesus Christ in Bethlehem? John Paul II is presenting Our Lady as a Eucharistic woman, the model of all adoration. Can you imagine how Our Lady was looking at Jesus when He was born? The Son of God that was in her womb for 9 months, that she was expecting with love, with reverence, that moment when she was able for the first time to see the face of God that took flesh in her womb. That is the model of Eucharistic adoration. Ask Our Lady to give you her eyes, her heart, her purity, so that you can look at Jesus, to contemplate Him with that same love and reverence, with that same tenderness. And she has to be also the model for our communions, to receive Jesus, to treat Jesus the same way that Our Lady was treating Him. The Church is telling us that there is no opposition between Mass and Eucharistic adoration. They help each other. If you spend time before the Blessed Sacrament in adoration, that will help you for sure to live your Mass in a deeper way. And if you really live your Mass with faith, then your Eucharistic adoration would be more alive, more sincere, more committed. Because that Eucharistic adoration at the end of the day is the same interior attitude that we have in Mass. What is to adore? It's just to bend my knees. I need to do that because we are body and soul. Then the act of kneeling is showing my adoration. But above all, adoration is an interior attitude where I surrender myself before the Lord, where I abandon myself to His will, where I recognize that He is God, that He is my God, that I belong to Him, that I love Him. And that Eucharistic adoration is helping us also to, in some way, think about what is going to be heaven. What's going to be heaven? To contemplate the Lord face to face. We are before Jesus in the Eucharist through the veils of faith. In heaven, we will see Him face to face. But Eucharistic adoration is the beginning of our eternal life too. And that is beautiful. Brothers and sisters, today, let us ask our Lord to increase our faith in His real presence, and to give us the grace to really participate in the Eucharist with that interior attitude of self-giving, commitment with the Lord, with my brothers, in my family, self-giving, not selfishness, self-giving. I am not here to keep my life, but to give my life for others, for the Lord and for others. And in that way, I become a living Mass, and I identify myself with that self-giving of Jesus every day on the Eucharist. May our Blessed Mother help all of us, priests and lay people, to live what is the heart of our Church, the mystery of our faith.